So I'm a minister by trade and vocation. But my story actually doesn't start here. It doesn't start in the Pacific Northwest. It starts in the Midwest, where I'm from. Two summers ago, not this summer, but the previous summer, we traveled as a family, our two small children and my partner, to the Midwest, where I'm from, my hometown. My family's farm, and stayed there, and we had a great time. Despite not sleeping with a newborn, we deeply enjoyed the livestock and the stars, the fireflies. We would sit in the evenings on the deck and listen to the crocuses in the trees and watch the sunset and just took it all in. We arrived back to our South Seattle home on a street that had, you know, prostitutes on one end and a really great neighbor right next door who was also a drug dealer, but a great guy. We had only been home about 2 days, and we woke up in the middle of the night to a truck on fire on the street right in front of our house, and the smoke was pouring in. And it was that toxic smoke that smells like burning metal, like gasoline, like rubber, just choking. So we closed the windows and grabbed our infant and moved to the other room. And we're just so frustrated by this experience of the beautiful place we had come from and the contrasting experience of this street. That weekend, just on a random chance, we went to Vashon for the Strawberry Festival. And we'd always dreamed of moving to Vashon. So we looked at a house and we fell in love. It was beautiful, had three decks and open space. It had Douglas firs on one side and a barn. It had the perfect fence for kids to climb up and down. It had fruit trees and just, it felt so good. So we strapped our blinders on and, you know, they stayed on when we found out our landlord, our neighbor, would be right next door. And I don't mean on the property next door. I mean, let's make a person chain of two people and we could touch the house. Our blinders stayed on when we negotiated the terms of the lease. She called 2 days later, accusing us of swindling her and asked us to renegotiate the terms. We kept them on when, after we signed the lease, she forgot to bring us keys. She moved her furniture into the house after we'd signed the lease and then made us move it out in order to move in. And on the day that we moved in, she was pulling her laundry out of our newly leased washer and dryer. So the blinder slipped off. So that by the time winter came, we were in a pretty frustrated state. We came home one day and discovered that we couldn't get into our driveway. Apparently, our neighbors had been given permission to park in our driveway. Not a shared driveway, just our driveway. There was no place for us to go. We had non-working appliances, more than we had working appliances. And we were consistently accused of breaking our 8-year-old IKEA brand appliances on purpose. Now, the reviews on these appliances, we kept looking at them only to make ourselves feel better, but people had written, "I have to put 1 star on this washing machine because otherwise they won't let me write a review." And so again and again, these things kept happening. The worst of it, I think, for me was when we got an email that said that we had to clean up all the dog poop in the yard, and we didn't have a dog. So my sister came, and she visited in March. And my sister's a landlord. She owns a house that they've rented. And she also knows a little bit more about abusive relationships than I think she cares for me to disclose in this setting. But she very aptly said, "Wow, you are in an abusive, boundaryless relationship with your landlord." And for me, it was so solidifying to have that named. Like, oh, a label. Yes, thank you. This is horrible. In part because for me, home is my sanctuary. I am a homebody. I think if I had a self-sustaining space, I'm not sure I would ever leave. I love home. It's my safe place. It's my place where I can be anxious and crazy and loving and, you know, just ridiculous. And so to have my home be in constant potential violation by my neighbor made me so raw. And what came up for me, actually, more than anything, was violence. I started having violent fantasies of all the things I could do to her. And actually, I didn't really want to hurt her physically, though Sean, my partner, really wanted to burn her house down. I just wanted to play with her mind. I was like, no, we gotta be worse than that. I wanted to gather all of the friends I have from across the U.S. and start have them like go to mental institutions and pick up applications and mail them to her. I wanted them to like collect newspaper articles of violent things that had happened and send them her way. I wanted to leave a death threat on the refrigerator so when they came to fix it, she would see it. Oh, it wouldn't have her name on it. I wanted to hang up art all over our house with violent words, right? Like death, attack, rage. Like, and my children can't read yet. No one would notice. And I wanted to get a gun. And I wanted to get a Post-it and write her name on the Post-it and put the Post-it on the gun. At the very least, I wanted to flip her off. Of course, I wanted to spray paint her house. I wanted to kill her dog and tie it up on a tree and just leave it hanging there. That was the most violent. But I come again, I'm a minister, and I'm a minister of a tradition that prides itself on peacefulness, on nonviolence, and the tradition of that is long and deep and rich. And I was having violent fantasies in every ounce of free time I had. And I started to put together that what this rage, what this fantasy of violence did for me was it made me have agency over my own life. It made me say, you know what? I can dream all I want about messing her up. I want her to fall to the pit of mental unwellness. Yeah, that's class that up, I guess. But I wanted her to I just wanted to mess with her. But I was choosing not to. Those things wouldn't really get me arrested. And I could get away with it. But I chose not to. And I learned so much that maybe violence is not just sitting zen-like as the world around us happens. Maybe nonviolence is not just finding that inner peace. For me, nonviolence and peaceful living is not about the smoke that comes in my window, not about the neighbors I have, but having to contend deeply for me with how I deal with the own violence that wells up within me and choosing when I do and do not act on that. Thank you.